Sheffield comes down to Seamus Harnady again. They couldn't block from Finn Lynch. It's two against two, dropping in. Magnificent Brian Hayes. He turns, shoots, and lasses it over the crossbar. The St. Finbar's man is having it a game of his life. 2 points in it, and the ball comes out to Patrick Collins, and the referee is looking at his watch. Cork are going to make the All-Ireland final, are they? This is incredible. Cork lay it down. Tyler Walsh goes the full-time whistle, and Limerick are beaten. The five-in-a-row dream is over. Cork are in the All-Ireland final.
Shanner has got the ball on the 45. There's black and white, amber traffic everywhere. Giving it out to Mark Rogers. Rogers going for the score. He's got it. It'll be Jolly Rogers tonight. It's a level game. Aidan McCarthy out near the Cusack stand sideline. No more than 35 metres out from the goal. He scored from a similar position not so long ago with 2 minutes left in the game. Clare are gone ahead. Tony Kelly from 65 metres out fires it in. The TK is bubbling and fizzing in Croke Park. Clare are gone 2 points up and they're thinking that maybe they could be heading for the All-Ireland final. It's floated in delicately by Richie Green. They're all in behind it. Desperate defending by Clare. They've knocked the ball away over towards the corner. That'll do. And the final whistle sounds and Clare are through to the All-Ireland hurling final for the first time since 2013.
Oh, the excitement. Hello there and welcome to the programme. It's another huge weekend of hurling with massive crowds expected for the All-Ireland final on Sunday. It's also semi-final time in the Ladies Football Championship and we'll have all the latest news and insight there. But let's get straight into the race for Liam McCarthy. Joining me on the line now to get stuck into this one is Clare legend Podge Collins. Podge, just a quick question to you first of all. What do Clare need to improve on from the semi-final to this final?
Yeah, well, I suppose if Clare have and Cork, how they match up against each other is very different to how Clare and Limerick will match up, or Cork and Limerick will match up against each other. The same way Clare and Limerick match up against each other is different.
Right.
And we've been fortunate enough to come out on the right side of the last three results against Cork. So I'm sure that will give the lads great confidence, because I know all week in Clare, the narrative has been Clare are underdogs. Even the Munster final this year, there was a very optimistic vibe in Clare. It's more hope going into this final, but I'm content enough that we match up well against them, but it's all going to come down to who takes their chances then. And the more I kind of think about this game and the way it's going to ebb and flow.
Yeah, I think, Podge, the last time out, Cork found great joy down the wings against Limerick, but in fairness to the Clare defence, the two cornerbacks and two wingbacks are in great form as well, aren't they?
Yeah, like David McInerney had a phenomenal semi-final, obviously, man the match. And Dermot, like my own club man, like he's just a phenomenal player. So, like the Cork team kind of avoided Kyle Hayes' wing for most of the game, and probably like they probably missed Barry Nash more than they like to admit, kind of getting forward from that full back position as well. But Clare, one thing that's very, I suppose, it's excellent about the game is that Cork and Clare both have their full decks. So we've got every player available, I think, on both sides. Available to play with the Ryan Taylor coming back now. So it's kind of a case of like, may the best team win nearly.
Yeah.
You're not going to have any conversations on Monday morning saying, well, you know, Tony Kelly was carrying a knock or Shane Allen was carrying a knock. From what I'm hearing, everyone's available, which makes it even more intriguing.
Both goalkeepers are in great form at the moment. Podge Aver-Quilligan and Pat Collins as well made some great saves, but their restarts and puckouts are very influential as well. In your opinion, will puckouts play a big role, and is there anybody there that might have an edge on that battle?
Yeah, he was excellent. He really kind of silenced any doubters there in the All-Ireland semi-final with both his saves and his puckouts. It's kind of like Cork went long and direct down the left side of the field as they looked at it against Limerick, and they got a decent amount of joy. It's kind of like, even though they won 60% of those puckouts, it was just where they were winning them. So as soon as they won the ball in that area, it was nearly a score. So I don't know, will they have to take the same tactic against Clare? Like in the league, they brought their midfield completely into their back line against Clare and just left space in front of their half forward line and tried it into it. But like Daryl Owen, Davy Mack and Dermot Ryan were the half-back line for Clare that day, and they just had the speed to match the Cork half-forward line. So I don't think we'll see something as extreme as that, because it didn't really work from that day.
Yeah.
But they do want to kind of pull you back the field, create space in their forwards, and then pick a puck out. They have like a few different moves for them, and Patrick Collins has been executing well.
Yeah, he certainly has, and even Hayes is a nice target at the other end of the field. And look, they used to do that with Donal Logan, Joe Dean as well. They'd move the half forward across the field. You know, Joe Dean would come out and get the puck out on the hop almost on the turn and go for goal. It was a simple tactic, but a very, very effective. And it's probably a form of that now these days. But as regards Clare, just watching you so many times this year, Podge, would there be any kind of concern that maybe the 75 minutes plus performance has to be steady and consistent? And by that I mean, at times Clare have started quick and finished slowly, or started slowly and finished well, just piecing it all together. And it probably applies to a lot of teams, but have you any thoughts on that?
No, it's kind of, that's what's given you the most hope going into the final, considering the Cork semi-final performance. Like, Clare, it's not like it's a fitness issue because we finished so strong against Kilkenny. It's not a bench issue because the lads that have been coming on have been doing the business.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of a case of that hope from a Clare fan is that if we do piece this performance together that we know we're capable of, we should come out on the right side of the result.
Now, free-taking will be another aspect of the game. Aidan McCarthy had a flawless day last time out. He was almost unerring from the place ball, and every score counts in a game of this magnitude. But, Podge, on the other side of the fence, you've got one of the all-time greats, Patrick Horgan.
Patrick Horgan in the semi-final was the same.
Yeah.
For the first, I'd say, for the first time all year. So I know the type of player Patrick Horgan is. He's just going to be down the field morning, noon, and night, hitting freeze between the semi-final and the final. So Clare cannot expect him to miss any, because I don't think he will. And I think Aidan will take great confidence in that semi-final. I know he's putting in similar work, so it's going to be, I'd say both free takers will be over 90% from freeze. It'll just be a case of who takes the chances from play. That's going to, like, because they're both going to be presented with great opportunities, great goal chances, a couple of 2-on-1s going against the opposite team. And if it's going to be the team that takes those chances, because I think these teams are so tightly matched.
Just in terms of the psychology of it, Podge, finally, do you think that anybody has an edge there or anything like that?
I don't know. Like, both these teams will just be treating it as, we need to get a performance on Sunday to get a result, because that's all that really matters at the end of the day to the players and to the management. They just want to win on Sunday. So that's what all their focus is going to be. Like, I suppose as a player myself, it's always grand when you're going in as a bit of an underdog. But it doesn't really matter if you don't produce a performance. And so it's I just think like that the teams won't be reading in too much about the psychology of their matchup, or 19 years or 11 years or not getting to an All Ireland final since 13 or anything like that. They're just going to treat it as another game that they have to win. And if you win, it's the best feeling in the world. If you lose, it's the worst feeling in the world. So the stakes are high.
So, finally, a lot riding on this final, career-defining final for a lot of players on both teams. A lot of pressure, a lot of outside noise. Podge, if you're a player from Cork or Clare looking ahead to Sunday, where can you go to avoid the distractions of the outside?
The county boards and the managements are both excellent at just kind of keeping them separate from it. Players will have people looking after their tickets for them and dealing with the logistics of it and the banquet and the parents going to that and everything like that. That'll be all sorted away from the players. So, some lads embrace that side of things. Other lads just want to be, like you said, in their cocoon. And I think they're in their bubble within their panel, and all they're thinking about is the game. And they'll be avoiding any, like, the media side of it, the papers, the podcast, everything else that goes with it this week, and just focus on performing on Sunday.
Thanks very much for that, Podge. Podge Collins there from Clare. And now, delighted to be joined by a Cork legend, Dermot O'Sullivan. Dermot, you're so welcome to the programme. Thanks very much for chatting to us.
No bother, Damien. You know, we're friends a long time now, and if we couldn't speak in All-Ireland final week to get the opportunity to speak in All-Ireland final weekend to yourself, as I can tell you, as a Cork man, I'm absolutely thrilled and delighted to be able to do it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And look, at going back to your own era, Dermot, like, and All-Ireland finals were, I think, I suppose, a regularity for your era, both at underage and senior. And, you know, there was a bit of a lean period in between. What's different this year, Dermot?
Yeah, you know, the lean period, I suppose it's been extremely difficult for all, you know, for all Cork supporters. We've come close a number of occasions, but obviously, you know, that didn't materialise. But I suppose, Damien, there's a hunger in Cork hurling fraternity are starved for success, right? They're starved for All-Irelands. you know, the excitement that's around the county, the anxiety over tickets, the stress, everything. It's different. It's on a level I've probably never, ever seen before, right? And that says to me that, you know, Cork people need an All-Ireland title. I think hurling needs Cork to win an All-Ireland title as much as everything else, you know, to get the traditional counties back up there again. So, you know, it's been a wonderful week, and I've no doubt it will culminate in a wonderful, wonderful game on Sunday.
I hear what you're saying, and like, I mean, I think 15,000 people for the Páirc Uíomh event bought tickets immediately, yeah. Never mind the match itself. I've never seen anything like the demand for tickets, Dermot. Can the players, and in fairness to Pat Ryan, he'd immediate day, he had the suits measured, all done the following day after the semi-final win. Pat had the game face on before he left Croke Park, even Dermot, after beating Limerick. But will the players be able to isolate themselves from all that? And I suppose, look, that applies to Clare as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%. It was like Pat boxed really clever there. He his house in order, got his business done, good and early. So what's their main focus? Their main focus, Damien, is the game. Everything else is outside. I like to call it Spanish, right? Because I don't understand Spanish. So all that stuff that goes on outside your camp or outside of your squad, you know, leave it there. We don't understand that. That's for people outside of Pat, and the guys can only focus of what's in front of them, which is the Clare, you know, the Clare wagon at Happy Tree. So I think he boxed that off really well. Get all that stuff out of the way. Trying to filter from the players. Look, unfortunately, they've all have phones. People will send them links unwillingly, unknowingly. That geez, I don't really want to see this, guys. I don't want to be reading it, you know. And it's just out of kindness and good nature that people would send on this type of stuff. But so a certain amount of it will filter through. But I think a lot of these players, bar the younger guys in the squad, are well adept with dealing with scenarios like this, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we focus on the many positives, just is there any area of concern that Cork were so good the last time out that it could be a battle and a half to replicate that same level of performance again? And I mean that in the most complimentary sense.
Absolutely. Like, there's no doubt Cork were outstanding in every facet of the game, from, you know, from Patrick Collins. It was the game that signaled to me this guy has grown to be the next Donal Hughes, like the next Anthony Nash, the next Jerk Cunningham. It signaled to me, you know, he has taken over. He drove the Cork bus. He dictated Cork's play. Not only did he dictate Cork's play, he dictated a lot of what Limerick had to do as well. So like that's a huge, huge plus. So Patrick, it'll start with him. On Sunday, it will start with him again. Can he dictate terms of engagement between the both teams? Absolutely, he can. He has grown into that. But Cork just did so many things right. They're playing a traditional, I suppose, yet hybrid version of the game, if that's what you want to call it. They can go short. They can go long. They can run the ball. You know, there's so many facets and so many different ways Cork can play the game. It's brilliant. It's brilliant to see it.
It's fascinating to hear you say that, because the lesson there is stick with your players, stick with your goalkeeper, give them a chance to settle into, and Collins proved that the last day out. In terms of what Clare are going to maybe do to counteract you, Dermot, I presume they'll try and squeeze you, having watched the way you got a joy down the wings against Limerick. But you'd be confident Cork will find a way around that as well.
You have to find a way, Damien, if you want to be successful. Like, Brian Lohan is a shrewd operator, both on and off the field, right? And he would be looking at the way Cork created opportunities for Cork against Clare. Yeah. I don't think they're going to be naive enough to leave the gaps and the space that Cork exploited. So what will Cork do then? How do they change? How do they counter that? Do they become that short passing team, that running team, you know, more careful use of possession? Because, you know, as you said it there, Tony Kelly, Mark Rogers, Peter Duggan, there'll be huge responsibility on them with Cathal Malone there and Fitzy to sit deeper. Because Clare are actually similar enough to the way the Cork and Clare are actually similar enough. They like to sit their half back, then back, turn over the ball and break with incredible power and pace, exploiting gaps. So it's going to be fascinating. That I know it's a cliche, and it's been spoken about for the last number of years about that middle third. But if you match up Cork's middle third there and Clare's middle third, Demo, there's going to be some collisions in there.
Yeah, there is going to be some collisions. Cork's bench is looking strong too, Dermot. Do you think that there's an edge there, perhaps?
You know what? I was looking through earlier on. The Clare team was announced earlier, right? and you weren't on about the Cork bench, I was looking through the Clare squad and I said, whoa, what Brian Lohan has created something really, really strong here. Rory Hayes, Cian Galvin, Ryan Taylor, Shane Amore, Aaron Shanahan, you know, Ian Galvin, you know, that you know, pound for pound, that's similar to Cork with your Jermell Ricks, with your Damien Callans, with your Shane Kingstons, with your Robbie O'Flynn's, with your Jack O'Connor's. Like,
fair point.
It's, I'm looking, I'm saying, whoa, guys, yeah. Who, where's the difference maker going to be here? In the last number of years, the difference makers have come from the bench. But you're looking here, whoa, you match them up like for like. It's great, it's intriguing. Every single one of these players we've spoken about, the starting 15, the guys coming on, they'll get us out of their seats. One of them will create a moment of magic, or there'll be an error, unfortunately, that will ultimately lead to victory for one side.
From a hurling perspective, to look at the both sets of forwards on view, Dermot, like, you know, your Shane O'Donnell's and your Tony Kelly's and your Aidan McCarthy's on one side, but I think nearly all of six of your forwards and your two midfielders were on the score sheet very early as well. And you're talking about getting out of your seats. Do you expect... What way do you expect the final to go, Dermot? Like, I was watching Armagh play football against Kerry last weekend, and I expected both sides to sit back and maybe go at it for the last 10 minutes. It was the complete opposite. They both, you know, went for broke.
Which is very un-Armagh, which it's very un-Armagh, like, because I watch a good bit of football as well.
Yeah, of course.
I've always like Armagh. It was completely un-Armagh. Like, it's like, you know what? We're here. We're going to have a go.
Yeah.
Cork's best weapon is attacking, right? Cork can't wait them in. They have to play hurling on the front foot. If you look throughout games throughout the year, when Cork sat off and tried to play from the back foot, they struggled, right? But when they played front foot hurling, every guy attacking the ball, every fellow wanting the ball, no fear of making a mistake or fear of retribution of making that mistake. There was a freedom to it. I think it's the only way Cork can play hurling. This current group, I think it suits them. It excites everyone, both, you know, the neutral fan and the rebel army, as we call us, right? It suits us. So I think Cork can't afford to be negative. Cork cannot be afford to be negative, because being negative does not suit this Cork team.
Two last questions for you, Dermot, before you go. I remember being down in Thurles watching Tip versus Cork. 95% of the stadium was red that day. A few of the Cork subs were behind us watching the RT monitor. We were watching Clare versus Waterford. Had one ball gone an inch differently, Cork's season was nearly was over. It was over before the Tip game even started. Isn't it just incredible how the game can switch so soon?
But that's Cork's season in a nutshell, Damien. Right. On the law of averages, Cork would not be in an All Ireland final this weekend. Right. We and you would not be having this conversation. You take the Tipperary Waterford game, right at the very death, Tipperary got a draw. You take the incident in Corky Creef, Cork and Limerick, Patrick Horgan's penalty. Yeah. You take the incident over in Ennis to 65, right? You need luck. You need luck to be successful in anything. Yes, you can have your game plans, you can have the complete package, but you still need that little rub of the green. And to up to now. Right, and it's only up to now Cork have got them slight rubs, because me and you, as we've said, would be having a slightly different we'd have a totally different conversation. We might be talking about another two teams contesting in All-Ireland. So Cork to now, yes, absolutely, they've had that rub of the green, found themselves in a very, very good position, and the opportunity is in front of them now, and just hopefully they can cross the line and take it.
Yeah, and they've taken it. Very last question for you then, a general question. When your team hit the heights, like you really evolved the game in your style. The modern game now, Dermot, I see so many people complaining about maybe illegal hand passes and rucks and stuff like that, but to me, it's just gone to different levels altogether. You've been there right until recent times as a selector coach, and you were part of a team that changed the evolution of the game as well. How do you look at modern day hurling now?
It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating, Damien. You know, you can talk. There's a couple of facets, but you can talk about the athleticism of the players and the condition of the players. It's exceptional, absolutely exceptional, and that's down to the dedication of the players. You know, to be willing to do that work, to make themselves better athletes, to prepare themselves better, and then you have the hurling side of it. Like, I've never ever seen anything like the skill level of modern day players. The way they're able to manoeuvre the ball around the field, the way they're able to see things differently. the way they're able to convert the opportunities. Like, even go back to the Cork and Limerick game the last day, there was passages of play in that were absolutely phenomenal. Keane Lynch picked the ball up outside 45-50 yard line, maybe Cusack stand side in the first half. Like, his body was going one way and the hurley was going the other. It was the most phenomenal piece of skill. I can't believe it wasn't highlighted. I must look back for it. It was the most phenomenal piece of skill I've ever seen. Then you take Shane Barrett's run down the wing, reminiscent of something Ben O'Connor would do and strike the ball over the bar. Robert Downey scored at the very start of the game. Young O'Brien coming on his first touch of the ball, landing an absolute monster. Like, the skill levels and the dedication to guys willing to get better, it's frightening, and you have to commend them for it.
Dermot, after talking
to you, we're living in an era there. It's fascinating.
After talking to you, I'm getting camped out to go to Crow Park already. It's gates open. I can't wait to get into it. Thanks so much for the chat. I really, really enjoyed it.
No bother, Damien. From Cork perspective, you know, we need a result, and if it's to be, it's to be. That's it.
Dermot O'Sullivan, one of the Cork legends, thanks so much for your time. And joining me now is RT Sports' Orla Keeling to chat LGFA. Big semi-finals, Orla.
Yeah, big weekend of ladies football ahead. Not just the hurling that's going on this weekend.
Just the hurling is right. Armagh versus Kerry and Cork versus Galway, both on Saturday evening, 5:15 and 7:30 in Tullamore. But what happened to Dubs, first of all, Orla, before we look ahead to this weekend?
Yeah, it's surprise results. I think I had backed Dublin the last time we spoke to win the All-Ireland, and they're out of the quarter-final stage.
You weren't alone, Orla.
Yeah, repeat of the 2022 season. They were knocked out by Donegal. Yeah, certainly unexpected. It was at the game. Look, Dublin lost three key players before the game: Orla Nolan, Carla Rowe and Kate Sullivan, yeah, who all play at that kind of 11 playmaker position. Also left them without a right-footed free-taker. I kind of knew when Jennifer Dunn stepped up. Now, Jennifer Dunn is very capable, fabulous footballer, but she's not a free taker, and I was worrying from that moment. And look, in fairness to Galway, they got their matchups right. Nicola Ward, fantastic. She played six, but she was involved in every single goal that Galway got.
And how do you think they'll do against Cork now? That's 5:15 in O'Connor Park.
But it's interesting, that semi-final, there's actually both teams that got relegated to Division 2 are now in the top four, the last four left. I think it's going to be interesting. I think for Galway, their biggest challenge is backing up that performance. You know, the amount of energy they would have given to that game, especially when it went to extra time. Yeah. It's only a two-week break. That's not a lot of time for them. Can they back it up is my biggest worry. I think if they can, you know, the game is there. It's a path to the Ireland final for them. I think it would be a big pity for them if to beat Dublin and not make a final. But for them, it's all about bringing that same level of intensity, fearlessness into this game. And if they do, it's Cork are there for the taking.
Where are Cork at, in your opinion?
They're quietly rising in the background. I did tip Waterford, you know, the last time, but they're rising there. Katie Quirk was player of the month last month. Hannah Looney contributed 1-1. Emma Cleary with 4 points. They're starting to really kind of motor quietly in the background. They're kind of doing a Dublin, what Dublin did last year. They could make this an all Munster final, maybe, you never know. But I think that Waterford win could turn into a statement if they do go all the way. You know, that third quarter surge, they scored 1-4, but defensively they were very solid. They managed to weather the storm as well, but Waterford got a late goal. So in fairness to Cork, I have to give them credit. I didn't give them credit last week. They could reach the final. I really don't know who's going to win that game, to be honest with you. It could be quite tight, Cork and Galway.
It's going to be a classic one. Really looking forward to it too. And as you say, for Galway to beat Dublin and bow out to Cork, it'd be very frustrating for them. And then Cork will be fancying their scalp as well. Armagh Kerry is no less exciting. Like, I mean, Kerry will feel now that maybe the road is opening a little bit for them. You know, like, Dublin are gone. Meath are long gone. But Armagh are still there, and Armagh are some team as well, Orla.
They're certainly not to be overlooked at all. I think I was worrying last week in terms of the firepower they had up front. They answered those questions in terms of Blaugh Macken scored 1-3, Ethan McCoy with 1-1. They're key pieces of that attack. They were really good in transition. You know, they've answered the question that I had last week. Do they have the talent up front? I think they do. It's really up to now their spread of scoring and the matchups on a Kerry perspective. Can Armagh match up against Louise Muir-Hertig? But then yeah, you're worrying about Sheaf O'Shea, Anna Galvin, yeah, Darrow Leary. But in the same side with Kerry, they have to worry about a lot of their forwards now who are starting to motor. So this could be, to be honest with you, this could be the game of the weekend.
It could be. Would it be fair to say that Kerry have a gear to find yet?
I think so. I think they haven't hit the heights that they would have hit last year, but I think now the energy that they'll get from Dublin not being in the championship, you know, they felt like they left that final behind. They will see a path here to the title. Not to overlook Armagh, but the energy, I'm sure that camp is bursting to get out tomorrow.
Just to take you off the fence then, finally, very, very quickly, you looking at Kerry versus Galway in the final, in your opinion?
I I don't know. It's very hard to predict. It could even be an All-Munster final. You never know. But
get back on the fence. I don't blame you. It's hard to call as well.
I think if both teams perform, I think we're looking at a Kerry Galway final.
Okay, Orla, pleasure to talk to you, and we'll chat to you for the Camogie and Ladies Football finals coming forward as well. Okay?
Brilliant. Looking forward to it.
That's RT Sports Orla Keeling, and that's it for our show, folks. Hope you enjoyed the Ladies Football semi-finals. Hope you enjoyed the big hurling final on Sunday. Huge thanks to our producer John Farrell. Aisling Gruffery was on sound. From myself, Damien Lawler. Mind yourselves and take care.